Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we are just blessed of the Lord to be here today on the Prospering Souls broadcast. And we are going to conclude our teaching on the Holy Ghost today. Our speaker is not available, but we're going to go on in the name of the Lord. And we thank God for each and every one of you listening that will be calling in, those that be listening in, and those who listen to the archives later. We are so grateful for this ministry and that the Lord, what God has put in our heart to do, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ in a more of a foundational teaching level. And we're just thankful to be able to do that and so honored that God would allow us to do that. So at this time, I want to first start out with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today, for you are worthy to be praised. I thank you for your glory, and I thank you for your honor. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. God, I ask you, Lord, to bless the teaching today. Let the word fall on good ground, Lord. And I thank you just for the opportunity to be able to deliver your word to your people. And God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to touch us, Lord, as we go through this lesson today. We're going to be talking about the attributes of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit and also the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to touch on these things, and it might take us more than one more lesson, but, Lord, we're going to ask you, Lord, to be our guide in that consideration, and thank you so much just for the opportunity to be able to deliver the Word of God to your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God, for that. Difficulty today, but anyway, the Lord is good, and we're going to go on in his name without allowing the enemy to discourage us. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about I wanted to first kind of just briefly talk about the attributes of the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost comes to do for us. And all the things that we have to look forward to when we receive the Holy Ghost. And so, some of the things that the Holy Spirit does come to help us is he's the counselor, and it talks about how the Holy Ghost is a counselor to us and how that he helps us through things. And if we can depend on his instruction and what it is. So it says the Holy Spirit acts as a counselor or one who offers counsel to the children of God. The counsel or advice that the Holy Spirit provides is invaluable to our life in Christ. And says the Holy Spirit tells us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And our scripture reference for that is 1 John 2:27, where it says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and the truth, and is the truth." So the Holy Spirit has knowledge about the past, the present, and the future of your life. He has knowledge of all of that. And so his perspective on things is much wider and better than any human being. And therefore, the counsel he provides is the best anybody can ask for. Because first of all, the Holy Spirit is God. It says that there are three that bear record in heaven, and that's the Word, the Spirit, and it's God itself, God. And let me go to it, because I tell you, I don't want to say it out of order. And that is 1 John 5:3-7. Devil, you a liar. You are a liar.
I'm so sorry, I'm having technical difficulties today for some reason. But we are not going to be discouraged. We will not be discouraged. Okay, so 3:5-7. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." So when we talk about the Holy Ghost being our guide, we have to consider that is coming, that the guidance is coming from the Holy Spirit, which is God. And so we have to consider that. And if God knows everything about us, he knows everything that concerns us, he knows. And so we have to take that into consideration. So that is just one of the things that the Holy Spirit comes to do. The next thing is, he says he's a comforter. And so for John 4, 14 and 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's what John 14 and 18 says. It says, and this is the promise that Jesus made to his disciples. He knew that once he had, that once he left, there would be a difficult times, and that the people will have to face. And so he knew that the life was not going to be easy, and there will be people, circumstances, and events that can break them. So the Lord's people were going to need comfort, and then when Satan attacks, and then attacks them from all the sides and tries to crush their faith. But Jesus fulfilled his promise on the day of Pentecost by pouring out his spirit on those who loved him. And so what's so wonderful about it is that Jesus has done everything. God has already made the plan and put the provision in place. We just have to accept it. And when we accept him as our Savior and we believe on him and we begin to do that, then we have all of this access to all the things that God has promised us. We have access to him, but we have to have our faith there to believe. And so the Holy Spirit comes to comfort us as well. So he's our counselor, he's our comforter, and then he's our guide. And John 16 and 13 says that he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose you what is to come. And so we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is our guide in our life. He knows God's will and plans for our life. And he also is aware of things to come and the situations that you cannot possibly know. He guides you with a gentle prompting, but never overrules your free will. It is truly a blessed experience to be guided by the Holy Spirit. So we have him as our guide, we have him as our counselor, and we have him as our comforter. And then he is our protector. He also is our protector. And we read Psalms. And I'm going to slow down because I feel like I'm going really fast. Psalms 59:9, it says, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. And so you are not only protected from the world, but also from the influences of evil spirits, demons, and the kingdom of evil. The Holy Spirit gives you the gift of discernment that will greatly aid you when you take part in spiritual warfare. So God has already given us everything that we need. The Holy Spirit is also our comforter. And then it says in Isaiah 49 and 15, it says, can a woman forget her suckling child? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. This is God talking to us in Isaiah. And God shields you from your enemies. He watches over you and protects you. And when you do face danger, he is with you and will never abandon you. God is saying that even if the woman abandoned her own child, he will not abandon you. Isn't that awesome? He said, he tells us in his word that he will never leave us or forsake us. So we have to understand he has all the provision for our life if we would just trust in him and believe in him. So we've learned so far that the Holy Spirit is our counselor, he's our comforter, he's our guide, he's our protector. And then he is our seal. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It says the Holy Spirit is a seal put over you by Jesus himself. And this can have many meanings. It means that you now belong to God and that he has given you his own spirit as a guarantee till he comes back to claim you as his home. So as he comes back to claim us as the bride, as the church, the bride, he has already given us a seal of promise. And so it also means that you are eligible to receive your inheritance in Christ, and all the promises of God in the Bible can be claimed by you. In him you also, and this is Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, and it says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it and the praise of his glory. So these are the things. These are the things. This is another thing. So the Holy Spirit is our seal as well. And so that's a promise to us that he will do that for us as well. And I'm just going through some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit and what he provides to us. So I've talked about so far that he's our counselor, he's our comforter, he's our guide, he's our protector, and he's our seal. And also, he's the will of God for your life. And so if we read Jeremiah 29:11, the will of God for our life is that the Holy Spirit knows the will of God and the plan God has for your life. And he takes great delight in revealing this plan to you. And so one of the scriptures that he gives us for, that he reveals that plan to us, of course, is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." This is what God has promised us. These are the things God promised to give us through the Holy Spirit. It says God has planned for each one of us, at its plan to prosper, a plan to succeed, and the plan that is better than anything you can make for yourself. It is much better than what your parents wanted for you to become as a kid. God has a plan for your career, your life partner, your finances, your spiritual life. Only the Holy Spirit can tell you what you were made for, and only he can guide you to achieve that. Welcome. Is it? I think this is the Dotsons on the line. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Sister Denise. Elder Dotson's on his way. He's on his way.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just going over because our speaker was not available, and so I said that we would just kind of wrap this up today by doing. I've been going over the attributes of the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit, and then we're going to talk some about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I don't know if we'll get through all that today, but we're going to try to do our best. So that's where I'm going with this today. So now I'm going to talk just a little bit. I lost my notes. Talk a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit. And, of course, if we read those, are found in Galatians 5, and 20, I'll get them here, Galatians 5 and 20, where it talks about
speaker's not the gifts available.
Of the Spirit. Uh-huh. The gifts of the Spirit. So if I look at Ephesians 5 and starting at verse 22, it says, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sorry, I keep saying the gifts. We'll get to that later. And it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so those are the fruit of the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, we begin to see those attributes in our own life. These are the things that we should begin to see operating in our life, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, and the Holy Spirit brings these gifts to us, and this is the fruit that we bear because we have the Holy Spirit working in our life. It lives in us, and so we begin to see these things operating. So if we just look at it just a little bit, so what are the gifts of the Spirit? I just read that. But, of course, I keep going to the gifts. I'm sorry, I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I keep going to the gifts for some reason. Let me get to the right place. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is our biblical term that describes the visible attributes of a true Christian walk. It is visible physical manifestation of the work of the Holy Spirit has done in your life, and it is a sign of maturity as a believer. And, you know, if we really think about these particular gifts, if you think about the fruit of the Spirit and you talk about love, and so when we have the Holy Spirit, you know, if we're able to love through things that maybe somebody else that doesn't have that, possess that gift, that fruit, may not be able to do, so it allows us to do these fruits to operate in us, which shows us a sign of maturity. Because when you can love somebody even though they've harmed you, or even though they didn't maybe treat you just right, but you can love them anyway, that's a sign of maturity, and you can see the Holy, that's coming from the Holy Spirit. And then joy in the midst of trouble, when you can still have joy even though you're going through crisis in your life and things are happening in your life, but you can still possess joy, that's a mature sign that you have the fruit of the Spirit operating in you. Because you, sometimes when we go through so many things in life, and these things are troubling, and they can be very discouraging and everything like that, but when we can keep the joy of the Lord flowing through our lives, even in the midst of times of trouble, I mean, we're showing signs of maturity. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. It comes to help us to mature, because it leads, it guides, it comforts us. And then if you can have peace, because peace, it's not just things are not everything's going well in your life. When you have the peace of God in your life, that means you have peace in the even in the absence of, even in the presence of confusion. You have peace even in the presence of turmoil and presence of trouble. I think it's John 16 chapter, I think it's 16 and 33 says to be of good cheer, because it says, he said, in this world you have tribulation, but he said be of good cheer. He said, for I've already overcome the world. So that if for us to have good cheer in the times of tribulation, in times of trial, means that we have allowed the peace of God to rule in our life. And so therefore, even though we might not have understanding of the things that are going on in our life, but we have that peace of God, and we're allowing it to rule. And so that when you have that peace, those are signs, these are the fruit of the Spirit to me. When you allow those to operate in your life and you're operating them, you are showing signs that you are maturing in Christ. Because those things are beginning to operate in you. When we're still babes in Christ, sometimes those things don't operate. Does anybody have anything to say about that or comment? Okay, so we'll keep on. And then the next one, my computer is really cutting up today. Oh, Lord have mercy. But anyway.
No man, let her go.
Denise, hello?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. This is Brother Dotson. I did want to comment on the peace when you were talking about peace. The Bible says that the Lord will give you the peace that passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Now, when we're talking about peace, we're talking about something that comes from God, which God is, an attribute of God, is that peace. And he's saying, whatever you're going through, and this is what blows your mind if you think about it, he can give you peace to settle your soul and to settle your heart and to settle your mind in any condition you may be going through.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you've suffered hardship, you've lost some things, something that you're going through right now. The Lord said he can give you the peace that will miraculously change your attitude toward anything that you're going through. Isn't that awesome?
Yes, I mean it is. It is awesome. Because when we think about that, that's what I was saying, it really does show us some signs of maturity. Because if we, just like you said, he said he give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. We may not understand the drama that's going on in our lives. We may not understand any of that. But God gives us a calm peace about it, to know that he is working it out on our behalf. And if we can just trust him enough to know that, then we can remain in a place of peace. What did he tell? He told Israel when they were in the wilderness, he said there remains a place of rest for the people of God. He wanted them to go to that peaceful place, even though they were going through a wilderness place. If they would have just trusted in him, they would have had a peace. They would have had a whole, it wouldn't have been 40 years. But because they didn't, is the reason why they had to go through so much turmoil during that journey.
Well, Sister Denise, you keep talking about maturity. And what I learned, can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
the thing that I had heard and learned about maturity, it's one of the, I guess you would say a synonym. I get them mixed up, synonym, antonym, of perfection, because they were saying that in order, because the Lord is saying be perfect, and you think, well, how can I be perfect, Lord? And the ministers down through the years have taught us that perfection is maturity. So when you're talking about maturity, then and we're walking in maturity, we're on the road to perfection, because maturity is a part of perfection.
Yeah. And you're so right, because that is a part of the growth process. Because it's just like in the natural. So it is in the natural, it is in spirit. So in the natural, when we begin to mature, we go from from a baby, and then we go through adolescence, and then we go through our teenage years, and then we go through our young adult years, and then we go through our adult years. In all of those stages, we are beginning to mature, and so we're getting better at things in life, hopefully, we're learning things as we go along that will help us to the next phase of our life. So I think that as we go through this Christian walk, as we mature in Christ, we're on our way to perfection. Because that is what did Paul say? He said, he said he hadn't apprehended, but this one thing he do is he's reaching towards the mark. And that mark is Jesus Christ and the perfection of him. And so those are the marks that we're trying to reach to. That's Philippians, what is that, Philippians 4 and 13, I guess? 4. I won't quote it wrong.
While you're getting that, Elder, the Bible tells us to mark the perfect man and behold the upright, where they're talking about the man that has grown.
Yes.
Yes. And then the Bible says, the Lord says, I'll keep him in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on me. You have to grow to a place where your mind is continually, mark that word and underline it, continually on the Lord.
Yes, because
a mature state of mind.
Yes, because the enemy constantly, daily comes to throw us off our path, especially in times of trouble. He will try to take our mind focused to think that God will not that God will not bless us or help us in our time of need, when that's his promise to us. He said he would supply every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so what the enemy comes to do is try to make us feel like that word is not true. So when we keep our mind, he said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. The thing that God is trying to get us to is to keep our mind stayed on him. So that even in the time of trouble, we won't get thrown off. It's like in, what is that, the first Psalms where it says we need to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. But it talks about that, even in the midst of trouble, that tree just kept on standing. It might have blew to the left, it might have blew to the right, but it still kept on standing. It was on a firm foundation in God. And that means, when I hear that, it means that that's something that is keeping its mind on Christ, on God, because it will not let anything that the enemy throws its way to take them off their course. They keep their mind stayed on Jesus. And how do we do that? And we are really getting ready to flow into that as our next topic. Our next teaching topic is on how to hear from the Lord and how to, to be able to hear his voice. And so in order for us to be able to do that, we have to have a mature mind, because otherwise you'll think you hear something that you're really not hearing from God. So it is important to begin to grow into these mature states as we continue on this walk with Christ, and not continue to go fall back, just because, like the Bible tells us, what it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But even if our hope, if something have we have been praying for and something we've been asking for has not come to pass, that does not mean that we have been denied.
Amen.
And so we have our hope in Christ to understand that he has not forgotten about us. And those are things that the Holy Spirit comes to do. It comes to bring those things back. It said the Holy Spirit will bring all things back to your remembering. And so if we allow him to do that, that helps us to stay in a much more mature place in God, and we trust him more. We praise him more. We pray more. We communicate with him more. We have our faith is increased during these times. Do you have any comments towards that?
And the main thing that growth does, Elder Denise, is it brings you to a state where you won't question God so much.
Yes.
You'll trust him.
Yes.
And believe that he is really looking out for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. And I know we're talking about that. I feel like we're going to shift a little bit, but it all comes back to the same place. Because we were talking about, this was interesting this week, I was, it seemed like the Lord kept telling me to go to 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 and 6, 3 through 6, and kept telling me to go to that particular scripture. And then it was something interesting today that my pastor preached on that particular scripture, so I felt like God was giving me a confirmation because he kept going to telling me to go there. Because sometimes the things that we wrestle with, you know, those things can throw us off track. But then I just want to read that particular scripture really quick, and it says,
say the scripture again, Elder.
At 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. And it says, for though we walk in the spirit, in the flesh, no, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so, and then it says, having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. But one thing I thought about that particular scripture, I mean, what the Lord spoke to me about that, and I think if we really use the Holy Spirit as our guide and as our comforter and let it teach us all things and let him bring all things to our remember, we would remember that we have weapons for any spiritual battle that we go through. And so just like the fruit of the Spirit is something that we have and we use, we can also use the Holy Spirit as our weapon to fight through any battles that we go through. We can also use prayer and wisdom and faith. We can use hope, love, trust, the Word of God. These are the things that God gave me. In the name of Jesus, peace, praise, worship, righteousness, obedience, and even fasting. And these are things that we can use when the enemy tries to attack you. We have so much that we can fight with. It's not even a physical fight, but it's a spiritual fight. And these are the things that will help to pull down the strongholds in our life. The Holy Spirit is there to help us fight in these battles. And so we
Amen.
Have to, that's why it's important for us to know the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, to know what type of fruit the Holy Spirit is giving us to bear, those kind of things. And we'll think about the gifts here in a minute, but we're going to continue to go down this path with the gifts of the Spirit, with the fruit of the Spirit. And then the next fruit of the Spirit is, I said, love, peace, is joy. Isn't it joy? That's my next one. Get back over to my scripture. I don't went someplace else. Yeah. So it said, fruit of the Spirit is love. No, joy, peace, then long suffering. Okay. Yeah, that's one right there.
Yes, it is.
Because a lot of us don't want to suffer with things long. We want every, you know, this is a microwave society, and we want everything to come quick and fast, quick and in a hurry. We don't really have time to wait. We even get frustrated in the drive-thrus anymore because, to me, they're taking too long, and we want things to really be able to move faster than what they've been doing. And so, but sometimes we got to suffer long. God suffers long with us.
Amen. What about that person that just aggravates you to no end?
Yes.
You got to suffer long with that person.
Yeah.
You don't know. You may, one of your purposes as being a child of God may be to minister to that very person that aggravates you.
That aggravates you. That is so true. Because it says, because this is what it says, one of the main definitions of the word long-suffering is that it is referring to patience. And patience is another sorely needed quality in the fast-paced world that we live in today. We don't want to be patient for nothing. And a lot of times people tell you, don't pray for no patience. Don't pray for it. They'll tell you that. Because otherwise, he said, because if you pray for it, the Lord going to make you wait on some stuff. But we need to wait on some stuff. It's just like when we watch people stand in the, it talks about people standing in the grocery line, like I said, at fast food restaurant. Everybody wants everything to move really quick, and they got short fuses. They frustrated. They get frustrated if something takes too long. But sometimes we have to suffer along with people. And even though we feel like, even like with our children, and we know we raised them right, we brought them up in the knowledge of the Lord and all those things, but then we see them go way off somewhere into a different place. And even though we know what the Bible says about that, we know the Bible says if you train up your child in the way it should go, and when they're old, it will not depart from it. But we get frustrated sometimes about what we see them doing. And some people, I mean, I've heard stories where people say they just cut them off. They didn't want to be bothered with them no more. They wasn't getting, I'm sick of this. And if that is not how God does us.
You're right.
Suffers long with us because we don't always do the right thing and make the right decision. But he don't throw us out. He don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they used to say.
Right.
He stays right along with us. And so we got, I know our society is fast-paced and society, all these things are going fast. But when it comes to the things of God, we might have to suffer a little longer. Does anybody have anything, comments about that?
Yes, I do. With all these attributes that you're talking about, you know, the thing that I like about it, the fruit of the Spirit, the things that you're talking about, these are the things that we need. But you know what, Elder Denise, we can't do it on our own. That's why we need what you're talking about. We need the Holy Ghost to aid us, to help us to get to those attributes. And that's how you get it. When it's down the inside, then you will see the attributes come forth. Because without it, we're done. We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
We're not going to wait. We're not going to have full love and joy. We're going to love some, but the love that God is talking about and being able to be patient and suffering long with people, we need the Holy Ghost. And that's what this is, a very pertinent subject that we're talking about, because, you know, people don't want to talk about it no more. But we've heard down through the years, you're not going to love God, you're not going to pray right, because the Holy Ghost is the one that comes in and helps you with your praying. And how can you love God without the Holy Ghost? Because he has to bring you back to himself, and we got to have it. And in order to do all these things that you're talking about, we got to have the Holy Ghost.
Got to have the Holy Ghost. And that's what's so interesting about it. It tells us it's the fruit of the Spirit. It is not our fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So just like you just said, Sister Doctor, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It is not, we can't do it on our own. That's why the Lord told us. He said, don't worry, it ain't your fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so you have to have the Spirit of God on the inside of you for you to bear the fruit. Because otherwise we can't do it by ourselves. You know, we'll cop an attitude in a minute, and we'll love you 1 minute, and the next minute we want to put our foot out and trip you, because sometimes you do stuff like that. People do stuff.
Amen, amen. But that was a beautiful point that you just brought out. It's not our fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit.
And that's a beautiful,
God,
you know, when you
also
think about it. Yes, he is.
Yeah, because he didn't leave nothing. He didn't leave nothing for us to claim as ours. He did everything.
Everything.
All we got, we just have to accept it and walk in it. That's what's really.
And
awesome.
As we walk in it, as you're talking about the maturity, you know, allow him to teach us
then we'll start growing into that perfection that we're being like the Lord.
Yeah. I think it's 1 John, and I'm not really sure where it is actually, but it talks about us growing in maturity, because it first mentions a baby, then it mentions like a little boy, and then it mentions a man. So it's like God was telling us these are the phases that you'll go through because you're going to a place of maturity. I'm trying to see if I can find it. I know it's in 1 John, and it talks about those steps. And so that's why I always tell people, I said, salvation is progressive. It as you continue to walk with God, you mature in Him, you become better at living for Him and walking for Christ. But the one thing about it is He has set everything in place. We just have to get into Him. We have to learn Him. We have to communicate. We have to know Him. And those are the things it is. And I was even thinking, going back to love, we talked about love, and this is a fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love. It talks about unselfish, benevolent concern for another. Brotherly concern, the object of brotherly concern or affection. The self-denying, self-sacrificing, Christ-like love, which is the foundation of all other graces. Unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the well-being of another, the highest esteem which God has for His human children and high regard which they in turn should have for Him and other people. To love, to have affection for someone, to be a friend, the love of brothers for each other. So it's something to have that type of love for one another, that even though you may not even know people, but you still have, you might not even know all the depths of somebody, but just because you have the fruit of the Spirit and you have that love from the Holy Spirit, you can love people that you don't even know.
And that's so true. That is true, because there was this lady that I met in the nail shop, and she was so high strung. Oh, my gosh. And I was talking to her, you just need to calm down, and, you know, and just, we were just talking. I didn't get too deep into it about the Lord. You know, there was a lot of people around, but I gave her enough. And then some kind of way, she asked for my number. You know how you're leery about giving people your number, so I gave her my cell number, and she ended up befriending me on Facebook. Well, when I got my new phone, all my numbers did not port over to my new phone. I didn't even realize I didn't have her number. Then I looked, and I was just looking on Facebook, and I saw she popped up, and then I saw that her husband died. And that thing grieved me and hit me in my spirit. I mean, it hit me so hard. It hit me like a ton of bricks almost, and it bothered me. But it's funny. You know, I didn't know her that well, but how God had given me that, you know, because you're supposed to grieve with somebody, and I had to pray and ask the Lord not to let that overwhelm me. But, you know, I kind of hit her on Messenger and asked her to get back in touch with me because I had lost her number, so I can, you know, just talk to her. But, you know, that's funny how, like you said, you could just meet somebody and you don't know them. But when something happens to them, you're affected by it. And that's the love of God, because God is affected. Well, He doesn't get overwhelmed and stuff, but, you know, He does because He's God. But He is concerned and He cares about us. And that shows a part of us. Well, Jesus wept when Lazarus died, so He does understand that emotion. But I just, you know, I was just kind of feeling like, wow, I didn't really know her, but how it hit me so hard, and I had to go into prayer for her. And I believe, and I thank God for that, for what you're talking about. I just believe that's a sign of maturity in me, because I'm learning how to love people that I really don't know. You know, we can love our homies. You know, we can love all those we know, but this lady, you know, I really, really don't know her that well. But still, you know, and I feel like it was a love that made me concerned about her, you know, and cared about her.
Mhm. That has to come from God, because even like we'll see hear stories on TV, you know, like even like the disasters that happen, and we just immediately when we hear that, we get a concern for the people involved. And
and we don't even know who they are.
Amen. And if you don't, you need to check yourself.
Yeah, you need to check yourself. When the floods were happening down in Louisiana, just had a genuine concern for those people, and that called you to just pray, Lord, just bless them, and you know, and let them find their family members and things like that. When you hear those kind of things, and even like the earthquakes that took place, I think it was over in was it Italy? Where was it at? Where the earthquakes just took place? But anyway. Even those, you just have a genuine concern for the people that are over there facing those tragedies at that time. It might not be here, but it is someplace else, and they have families and they have things. So you just pray. It's something that's in us that makes us just have a care or something we want. If we could do something, we would.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost because.
Yeah.
He's the one that's down on the inside of us, and we have that concern and we have that care because there's a whole lot of people out here that don't have any concern or care about anyone. So thank God for the Holy Ghost that he's putting down on the inside of the people that he do so other people can be ministered to the love of God.
Yes. Thank the Lord. And so we have to be thankful for that, and that's just, you know, it makes me feel good that I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, and I see those fruits popping. You know, I see the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the next one I want to talk about is kindness, and it says as a result, it says a kind word, a kind action to another person can really do wonders for them. Sometimes I used to think just smiling at people sometimes is a kind gesture. It don't cost you nothing. It's just a smile. And sometimes it will make somebody's day. Or a kind word to somebody that might not have been feeling so great about themselves, and you say something to them, and then you just see them light up.
Good morning.
That's true. Good morning.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get so spiritual, praise the Lord, when all someone needs to hear is good morning.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you less spiritual.
It does not. Jesus showed so many acts of kindness during his life and the ministry. He just showed so many acts of kindness, and he wants us to do the same way.
Amen. I agree. The Bible said that he done so much that they couldn't even record it.
Yeah. He didn't have to stop and do any of those things that he done for people, but he did. And he was so, he had a heart for the people, and that's why he came. He came to do his job, to do what he was called to do, and that was for us. And had he not did, even when he got to a place of weakness where he wished he could pass from it, he said, no, I have to go to the cross.
Amen. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
You know, what you're teaching right now, Elder, and what we're discussing, it goes hand in hand with the scripture that says all things working together for our good. Salvation is more than just giving your heart to God. It is living a life that is expected of you to live for God. The kind of life that he expects you to live before him is a life that Christ lived, that this mind be in you. So in what you're saying, the progressiveness, it has to be progressive. God knows, you know, that there are babes, and then there's adolescents, and then there's adults. He knows, and he's patient with us as we grow and as we learn and as we study to show ourselves approved unto God by what we do and what we read and what we take in.
Mm-hmm.
God matures us. And salvation, and most people don't want to say this, but it makes it sure.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. That assurance, yes. Does anyone else have any comments about concerning that? If not, we're going to go on to goodness. Goodness is a fruit. It says the Bible says that it is the goodness of God that will lead sinners to repentance and salvation. The quality of goodness is another real powerful quality to have operating through you. This particular quality has a real drawing power to it. Not only does the goodness of God draw people direct to him, but this fruit of goodness operating in the believer can also draw people direct to God through the actual believer. So it's that goodness that we have, that kindness and that goodness that we have that draws people to Christ. What does it say? It says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
So we have those are things, and when you show that goodness to people and you live this life in front of people, these are the things that helps to draw people to Christ. Because people say, I want that. I want what they got. You know how you see somebody, you're in a restaurant and you're not indecisive about what it is you want to eat, but then you see the server go through there with something and it looks really good. And they say, well, what do you want? I think I want that right there. That looks good. That's how people are looking at us. So that's why it's important that we really live the life that we say. If we say we're Christian, then live the Christian life.
Live a Christian life. You know what? Actually, some may look at me and say, well, but in the beginning, God called us good. And if we don't portray goodness, we're calling God a lie.
Thank you. Woo, and now that's good. Yes. We are. Because he called us good. He said everything he made, when he made in the beginning, he said it was good. That's good.
And it was good. You know that I'm gonna put that on something and write it on my wall. And it was good. All them folks that think that they're less than good, that you know, God said, and it, you were good. Amen.
Man. Now that ought to help a whole lot of people's self-esteem right there. A lot. The next one is faithfulness. And it says in the times we live in, let me see. What do we say about faithfulness? What does it say? Well, it's giving some analogies about, you know, in the time we live in, about how people, marriages are going, you know, we get 50% of living in divorce, and talks about just being faithful. So this quality is not only needed in our own personal relationship with God, but it is also needed in our own personal relationship with our friends and our families. And so once you are saved and have entered into a true personal relationship with the Lord, one of the first things you will really have to grab hold on to is holding fast to the Lord and stay faithful to him for the rest of your eternal life. So we got to stay faithful. We just got to stay faithful. We got to stay with God and stay, you know, continually being faithful. It's like having friends and being faithful to those friends, or faithful to, you know, like if you look at people that are in different, I want to say fraternities. They are faithful to that fraternity. They faithful to it. They wear the colors. They do this. You know, they wear the signals, they got the license plates, they got all these different things. They are faithful to that particular thing. We have to be faithful to God, faithful to God. We don't have to wear no certain thing. We just got to let the inside, the Holy Spirit on the inside shine through and see our faithfulness to God, our faithfulness to having communication with Him, our faithfulness to reading His Word, our faithfulness to prayer, and our faithfulness to attending church on Sundays and being a part of ministry, things that are faithful. Those are the things we have to do. And those things, again, does what? Draw people unto God. Our example, our relationship. If we show that and display that, it helps people to say, you know what, I want what they got. It helps people to have a sense of belonging as well. When people are, when they see the faithfulness of the believers all together, they want to belong. Does anybody have any comments concerning faithfulness? So we're going to go to the next gift, and that's gentleness. And we have to be gentle. We can't be harsh with people. We have to be gentle with handling people. And so we have to, sometimes watch our words so that we don't say things that may be harsh.
Not be overbearing.
Not to be overbearing, but treat people really, sometimes you just have to, because when people are really not in the Lord, they're going through all kinds of things. And so you can't come at them with this harsh, rude behavior, because you don't know if that will send them in a different direction or not. You don't know what they've been through in life. So it's important for us to have gentleness.
You know, is it okay if I go ahead?
Yes, uh-huh.
With gentleness, you know, a lot of things that people say, I don't care, honey, it is the truth. You got to use some wisdom on how you present the truth to people. Because if you come into, I don't care, it's the truth, and it's the truth anyway, that's not going to necessarily win somebody. But if you're gentle and you walk in love and present the truth the way the Lord presented truth with us, then you can win souls because you're wise.
And your transparency shouldn't be overbearing.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to be transparent.
Trying to keep it real. I'm keeping it on 100. Whatever. God wants us to be gentle, and you can still keep it on 100, but you got to be—you got to use some wisdom on how you deal with people.
Yeah. It says the quality of gentleness is another major quality needed in the world today. So many people have been beat up and hurt in their dealings with other people that just a gentle word or a gentle touch from another Christian can really open up the door for that person to be able to receive Jesus and his healing, saving, and deliverance power into their lives. That's why it's important that the things that crossed our mind to say might be what our flesh wants us to say, but we have to continue. If we operate in the fruit of the Spirit, we'll know that we can't say that, and we will hush that and allow God to give us what to say. And Jesus was our perfect example of gentleness, because it says that Jesus is perfect role model for all of us to study and learn from, especially with how he handled people while he was walking down here on earth. You know, just like the different ones, even the man that had all the demons and stuff like that, and just how he handled those different situations. He didn't say, "Oh, we not doing nothing for you." He could say, "Oh no." Even like the lady with the Syrophoenician woman, when he told her she was a dog, and she said, "Well, even the dogs eat from the crumbs table." Now he could have just kept on saying, "No, you a dog." He didn't say that. He said, "She got too much faith for me to say anything else. I got to do what she's asking me to do."
Even the woman that they were about to stone,
yes,
after he said, "Ye who are without sin, cast the first stone," everybody walked away. He said, "Woman, where are thy accusers?"
No.
You know, he didn't say nothing else, but he said, "Woman, where's your accuser?" go and sin no more.
Yeah. And he didn't go beat her up and say, well, you know, you shouldn't have been doing it. He didn't do none of that. And he didn't even, after, he just said what he said to them. And then after that, he told her what he said. Just like you said, he said, go and sin no more.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Unlike those saints. Now, you know you was wrong. You know you was wrong.
Yeah.
What about Job's friends that just tried to convince Job that he was wrong?
Yeah.
And he knew he had done nothing wrong.
So,
it's browbeating.
Yeah, it's browbeating. We have to remember.
It was browbeating him.
Yeah. That's what they were doing. And so many times, what was it said today? That, you know, people stay in the pain of their past when God is trying to take them to the dreams of their future. And so, we, you know, even though you went through the things in the past, one thing I say to people when I think about the past is, well, first of all, I can't do nothing about it. I can't change it. So then I tell myself, why dwell there? You can't do nothing about it. All you can do is look at where you are right now and move forward. I tell people when we go to the hospital and minister, I said, you know, it's one thing to be pushed back or step back because something happened. You might step back, but it's another thing to turn back. I said, you might take some few steps back because you're taking some hits and some blows, and it might push you back a little bit. I said, but if you never turn back, because when you step back, if you just step back, you're still facing forward. So you still got the opportunity to keep moving back through it. You might have to push your way back through some things, but you're still in the right, facing the right direction. But when you turn back, you've done something different. And we saw that with Job, with Lot's wife. She turned back.
Amen.
Yeah. So we have to remember that. And then our last fruit, and then I tell you, time goes fast. And so our last fruit of the Spirit is 9 fruits of the Spirit, and the 9th one is self-control, which is temperance as well. And, woo, that's a huge one.
Oh, watch that one.
That one is a big one, I'm telling you, because it's sometimes hard for us to bring ourselves in control and allowing the Spirit to lead and guide us and maybe, some of the things that we want to do. It says our spirit, I read this, our spirit knows that some of our fleshly desires are not right for us, and as a result, there will be a tug of war between the two. And sometimes it will be a major tug of war. And the only thing that will be able to control or curb someone of the desire of our flesh is the quality of self-control. And that's allowing the Spirit to lead you. What the Bible said, there is no temptation common unto man where God has not already made a way of escape for. So we have a way of escape out of things if we would just follow the leading of the Lord and stop wrestling with things or trying, well, I want to do it. Well, you know, I know I shouldn't do it. Well, I don't want. Well, if you're doing that kind of wrestling, then you already know it's wrong. And you know not to do. You know you should not do. That's what I say. If you got to wrestle with it, wrestle with something, then you know it's not the right thing to do. And self-control is something we have to utilize in every area of our life, whether it's our eating, our spending, our thought pattern, you know, our everyday living. We have to exercise temperance. I always pray and I ask the Lord, I said, Lord, make me temperate in all things.
Because
I need it in every area. And it's probably the one that out of all of these, it's probably one of the ones we wrestle with the most.
Amen. You know, the job of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was to get Jesus mad in front of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But take note, he never did.
Never did.
And they said some harsh things. But he never got angry and lashed out to those Pharisees and Sadducees before the people, because he really did not. He honored their authority.
Yeah. And he never, I always say, he never stopped on the side of the road to wrestle with that stuff. He just kept right on moving because he had a job to do. He had a mission.
Amen. He did not stop moving. We can't stop moving.
We can't either. And we have, and that's the thing. Sometimes we allow things that people may say to us or people may do to us to really kind of slow us down from our mission. Or we'll let somebody say, you know, maybe God has told us to do something, and then we'll let something that somebody says to us make us fearful, like we don't really have the goods to do it. And the thing about it is not us having the goods, it's the Holy Spirit got them.
Amen.
Yeah. We just have to walk in what God, if we start moving in what God has told us to do, the Holy Spirit will do the rest.
Amen. To bring the scripture back that you said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
We don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
We're not wrestling against
flesh. We wrestle against those spirits.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So if we would utilize the things that God has for us to really, if we just get it and stick with it. And I know it's a battle in our mind every day because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get us off course and not to believe God. But we got to believe God, that God is God. He said, faith is substance of things hoped for, but I'm thinking about those that diligently seek him. They say you got to believe that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. You got to believe that God is a rewarder. That's where faith comes into play.
That's where faith comes in. The Bible says he draws us with loving kindness.
Yes.
All that we're talking about is the attributes of God through the Spirit.
Yes.
He draws us with loving kindness.
Yeah.
And wonderful.
It's wonderful because we keep trying to do things on our own, and we God, that's why God sent Jesus, because he knew it had been messed up in the garden. He said, they can't do this on their own. I got to come and do this. So he put everything in place if we would only believe.
He is our help.
Yes, he is. He is our help. Well, I am so thankful for this lesson today. I really want to teach on the gifts of the Spirit, so we might go one more week and do that, do the gifts of the Spirit next week and talk about them in general format. And if we go deeper, we go deeper. But then we're going to be moving on to our next series, and it is How to Hear from God. And so that's going to be deep. We're going to talk a lot there about consecration and fasting and prayer and the Word of God and listening to God's voice and hearing him speak to us. Because once we get the Holy Spirit, we have to know when God is speaking to us. And so that's going to be our next series coming up. And so, but we will talk about the gifts of the Spirit on next week, so we'll be prepared for that. And then we will move into our next topic, and several of our teachers, elders and men, they're going to be teaching it. Of course, you know, and I get so excited about that because they are very astute, and they get in there and learn the Word of God and bring it to you under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I'm really excited about what's to come. But we thank you so much for your time and calling in, and those that logged in and those that even will listen to this broadcast later. I pray that this Word fell on good ground and that you will be blessed by it, and you will be able to grow by it, and you will be able to stand on a firm foundation concerning your walk with Christ, and you'll be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. And that you won't let anything take you from off this journey, but you'll keep walking with the Lord. And I'm gonna ask at this time, I'm gonna ask Elder Dotson if he will pray us our final prayer. But I'm gonna ask Minister Henry, because I see him on and he's been on here quiet. I'm gonna see if he will do the invitation to Christ.
Well, definitely. For anybody who's been listening, and, you know, we actually, the Word has been ministered to three groups of people: those who are saved, those who are backslidden, and those who don't have Christ in their life. But if anybody who's listening you know, you don't have prices. It's a very simple thing. The prerequisite for that is just simply believing and accepting Christ, you know, and then going through and going with a local church, get baptized. So while I'm praying, you know, you just pray for yourself as well. Father God, I thank you, everybody that's listening, Lord, as I pray for listening and committing their hearts to you. Father, I pray that you will keep them, cover them, and watch over them, and draw them to you. Definitely, there's a reason listening to this program. And as they are praying for you themselves, dear God, you embrace them and accept them into your bosom, lead them and direct them to a place that they can grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Henry. We thank God for that. And, of course, we always encourage you to find you a Bible-believing church, that a teaching church that will continue to help you grow. We thank God for your salvation today and you accepting the Lord into your life. And now we're going to have Elder Dotson to pray us out, and we will be back here this time next week on the Prospering Soul. And we thank you for joining us, and we look forward to ministering to you again on next week. Elder Dotson?
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this message tonight, these words tonight, are increased and that they touch, heal, and deliver us in the name of Jesus. Father, at this time, I want to pray strength for every teacher, for every elder, for every pastor, for every Christian, oh God. For in a moment of weakness, the enemy preys upon us. But Father, I pray strength right now.
Yes.
Let it enter into us. Let it make us strong like Samson. In the name of Jesus, that we may be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Jesus' holy name, let us all say,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all, and we'll see you back here next week. Have a good week.
God bless.
Bye.
Amen.
Amen.